This is Wednesday, September the 21st, chapel service with Peggy Hames, Associate Pastor of College Park Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
See what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Let us worship. We come together as community on this Wednesday morning with the sun shining again. We're wanting to remember those in our community who are in need of our love and our upholding and our prayers. Many of you already know that Alan Taylor's father has had a heart attack. He has been in the hospital. They're trying to regulate some medication while he's in the hospital. His father's name is John Taylor. We want to remember both of them and their family. Robert Garrett is back. He came back last night, but he has spent the weekend with his grandmother, who had emergency surgery. She has terminal cancer, and the family has been together. She is stabilizing somewhat, but it's a pretty grave condition, and we want to remember Robert and his family. Lucas Lloyd came by my office this morning on his way home. His wife is to have surgery tomorrow at Durham County General for back. She's going to have some work done on a disc. They're not really sure what they're going to find when they get in there. And Lucas is one of those folks who commutes, takes a full load, and also works full time. And now that this is added on, as so many of you understand, he is pretty stressed out. So we want to remember him and his wife, Sherry, as they undergo this surgery. There are others that you are aware of, that I am aware of, folks who are hurting, folks who need to be lifted up, and let us do that together. Loving God, we lift up to you those that we have mentioned and those that you know of that we have not mentioned, those who burden our hearts because they have troubled marriages, they have a child who is sick, they're under a lot of stress, they're just trying to find their way and your will. Hear our prayers as we lift up these friends to you. Lord, we ask your presence to be made known as we pray for our nation and our leaders, as we pray for discernment as we begin to try to choose who our leaders will be. We pray for Southeastern Seminary, for this great institution, and for our leaders. We pray for our families, those persons that are dear to us, who help us get through life, who sustain and nurture us. And we pray for ourselves, O God, struggling along, trying to find your way and your will. Be present with us in spirit and in truth. And let your love be so real that it is tangible in the neighbors that we meet. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we are very fortunate to have Reverend Peggy Hames as our guest speaker. Peggy is not new to this institution. She is from Winston-Salem. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in religion from Furman University. She is a 1985 graduate, MDiv graduate of Southeastern. And since May of 86, she has been the associate pastor of College Park Baptist Church in Greensboro. Peggy is one of my favorite people. She was, as a student here, one of the pride and joy of our preaching department. It's one of those really gifted people. It's very easy to know that God is in her and with her. And after the anthem, we will pray for her as she speaks God's word to us.
It is good to be here, and I am grateful for the invitation of the chapel committee to be among you in worship. I read this morning from the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner person, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The commercial begins with a disembodied voice announcing 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. And as the images multiply across the screen, the concepts become more difficult and complex. Sine, cosine, logarithm. It's an ad for a calculator, perhaps you've seen it, but not just any calculator, but one that can handle complex mathematical computations. The ad suggests that when the problems become complex and advanced, you need more than just a simple calculator that can add and subtract and multiply and divide. You need something more advanced. Now, I know nothing about the trustworthiness of that particular calculator. Thank heavens I have no need for it. But something about that ad rings true. It's true in seminary, isn't it? Now, when your first grade Sunday school teacher asked you the meaning of your memory verse, you didn't tell her to wait until you ran and checked out the Greek and Hebrew lexicons, did you? But it's more complex now. It's more advanced. And we need tools beyond a primary department quarterly. There's something that rings true, something that rings true in life as well, for the answers aren't simple and one-sided. There may be more than one correct answer. There may be more than one wrong answer. And getting from here to there may not be easy. Getting from here to there may not be clear. 1 + 1 = 2, but most days we need something more than that. And so we turn to this book called the Bible, not because it's a handy-dandy instruction manual full of quick and easy answers, but because by faith we believe that God's Spirit speaks a word through it even to the dark and deep corners of our lives. And so we turn to this book and to this prayer, and we have to admit we like the way it starts out. Because he starts out talking in words like strengthening and might and power. And power. Isn't that a wonderful prayer request to have. For who among us wouldn't like to have a little bit more power? If we had just a little bit more power, then maybe we could control ourselves or each other better. It wouldn't have to be bad. We could change things for the good. We could help attack the tragedy of homelessness. And maybe we could solve the world hunger problem if we just had enough power. And maybe we could even change things in the church. Maybe we could take down the partitions between us. Maybe we could invite the marginal folks up to the places of honor and respect. And maybe we could celebrate and bless and utilize the gifts of all of God's children, red and yellow and brown and black and white, rich and poor and everywhere in between, male and female. A request for power. It really could be a good thing, couldn't it? But unfortunately, the prayer doesn't stop there. That you may have power to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth to know the love of Christ. And now the request seems rather ordinary and simple. The love of Christ, that's so elementary and basic. That's what we start out with. If you're going to pray for us, then pray for something meatier that we can chew on, something more challenging. If we're going to be strengthened and receive power, then let it be power to do something, or at the very least. If it's power for understanding, then let us receive power to understand the hard questions, like why disasters come, why good and innocent people suffer. If you're going to pray for something like that. Something more than a primary department memory verse. That you may have power to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. But we face such complicated problems. Will that be enough? Will that be enough standing by a hospital bed, or in a nursing home, or in a house that's silent with grief or loud with anger? Is that enough for us? We face such advanced and complicated problems, even with ourselves, even within ourselves. For even among us professional minister types, there are times when our faith seems to be the faintest flicker of light among the shadows of our doubt. Sometimes even the best that we have to offer seems woefully small and inadequate. And sometimes we stumble and fail and fall. And sometimes we wonder if we'll even be allowed to race at all. To know the love of Christ, it just sounds too simple. When folks found out that I was going to be preaching here in chapel today, they said, "Well, tell us what you're preaching on." And I said, "Well, I'm preaching on the love of God." And they said, "Oh, can't you do anything harder, anything flashier, anything more difficult?" The words are short and common, but the love is uncommon. For the God whose word brought forth creation and all that is in it, all that we know and all of the worlds beyond, loves us. The God who knows all of us and each of us, our public triumphs and our private failings, yet loves us. The God whom we have followed and the God whom we have sometimes turned away from loves us. Simple words, common words, but an uncommon love. And now I find that I must echo Paul's prayer for power to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love made manifest in Christ Jesus. For although I am a graduate of Southeastern Seminary, although I am a duly ordained minister serving in a church, I cannot comprehend it. It is a wonder. It is a mystery. And perhaps that is enough. Not in a simplistic way. Smile, God loves you. That's all you need to think about. Or in the words of the song on the radio now, don't worry, be happy. Not that way, but perhaps it is enough to know that come what may in this day or the next, the one who goes with us loves us. Perhaps it is enough to know that there is no frustration so great, no pain so deep, no hate so terrible that it can keep God from loving us. We cannot earn it and we cannot lose it. It is grace. And it is wonder. And it is mystery. And perhaps it is enough. Not in the sense of now we can cancel classes and put away our books and papers because God loves us and that's all we need to know. But enough to call from us the very best of our minds and our hearts, to spend our lifetimes learning and growing and exploring that love. Perhaps it is enough to be our strength when we reach out to those around us who are hurting or hungry or ill-clad, and it seems that they just take and take and take until we fear we are drained. Perhaps it is enough. Perhaps it is enough when changes are slow and coming and success seems distant. Perhaps it is enough whenever, wherever, however we minister, perhaps it is enough to know that God loves us. At first, they didn't believe him when he told them he was called to the ministry, called to be a preacher. And then when they did accept that, they still questioned his methods. And some of the churches he worked with were theological disaster areas in his own life. Between accidents and illness and arrest, his life was a personal disaster area. But he knew something about the love of God. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God.
We have heard the word of God, of God's love. Let us depart as loved children, loving. Amen.